my name is Allison Hurt. I'm a master's student at Michigan State University, and I'm working with Roberto Lopez. Today I'm going to be talking about an experiment that I conducted looking at seedling quality and production time and how it's influenced by treatments in supplemental and photoperiodic lighting. So, first, just to look at some of the challenges that greenhouse growers have. A big one is light intensity. In northern latitudes, during peak propagation, young plant production times, which are generally between December and March, the outdoor DLI can be anywhere from 5 to 20. But once you go into the greenhouse with things like structures and glazing and shading, that is greatly reduced. So once you get into the greenhouse and at the plant level, your DLI can be around 1 to 5. And if, like in Michigan, it's an area that in the wintertime it can be very cloudy, it's usually around, closer to 1 to 2. So here are some maps that are kind of reflecting what I just said. So in February, in those northern latitudes, the average DLI looks like about 7. And then on the farther one, showing that the lower your DLI, the larger benefit for growers to have supplemental lighting. So from past research, for young plant production, our general recommendations are that greenhouse growers should provide 70 to 90 micromoles, which is will provide a DLI of 10 to 12. And this is our suggestion because from past research we've seen that this will increase your plug quality but also reduce the production time. And what we're looking for in plug quality is more rooting, a thicker stem, and then more branch development. And you can also see a reduced production time after transplants with plants often flowering earlier. From past research looking at high-intensity DLIs, when fixtures have at least 10% of blue, we often see, well, in some species, we can see more compact plugs with reduced leaf area and reduce stem elongation, and also in some species more higher chlorophyll and anthocyanin contents. Some growers, at least in Michigan, that were previously not using any lighting during their propagation have switched over to using photoperiodic lighting, and they were indicating that they were seeing shorter production times by doing this. So with that background, we wanted to look at a couple of different things. So my objectives were to quantify plug quality and production time. Under the first one, under some supplemental lighting treatments, so I used HPS lamps as well as high-intensity LEDs. And then I had two lighting run hours under that. One was continuously running for 16 hours, and the other is a threshold I'll talk more about in a second. Number two is my photoperiodic treatments, and I looked at two variables under this as well, 16-hour runtime as well as a 24-hour runtime, and then the presence of far red. And both of these groups were compared to my control, which is no electric lighting. So the species I chose to use were petunia, impatiens, gerbera. The first one is a wax begonia, and then the other is tuberous begonia. Now this is a photo of my greenhouse setup at Michigan State, and my propagation environment was 22-degree air temperature. My seeds were sown into 128-cell tray 1 week before they were placed under treatments, and this was so they were placed under treatments right after the cotyledons had emerged, and I maintained a VPD of 0.3 by injecting steam. So a little more detail on my treatments. For supplemental lighting, I used the LED. It was a Philips fixture, the dark white, red, and medium blue. And then the HPS was a 400-watt from PL Light Systems. So I had two benches of each of these light fixtures, one of each being the 70, providing light intensity of 70, running continuously for 16 hours, and the other providing a light intensity of 90. And this was my threshold treatment, So this treatment was on from 6 to 8 a.m. as well as 5 to 10 p.m. and then only in between when outdoor light was between 185 and 370. For my photoperiodic treatments, I looked at a couple of different photoperiodic lamps, since there are many available of these too. One was the 14-watt Philips. That was my the only treatment I had that did not have far red for photoperiodic lighting. And then I also had a Philips containing far red. And then I used the what is now commercially available GE Arise photoperiodic lamp, but at two different timings, one running for 16 hours continuously and the other for 24. All of my photoperiodic treatments were providing a light intensity of 2. And to look at some of my results. So these are my petunias, this photo. I had a 4-week propagation time, so this photo is taken after 4 weeks under the treatments. As you can see, the first photos there is my control. The next four are my supplemental lighting treatments, the first two being HPS, and the second, third and fourth, the LEDs, and the last four are photoperiodic lighting. As you can see in this photo, large difference in root development between supplemental and photoperiodic, as well as a lot more leaf expansion in the photoperiodic lighting treatments. But just comparing supplemental lighting and control, LED is much more compact, just with that blue light, and then a large difference between the control. Looking at photoperiodic treatments, much taller, not as much difference between them. For root dry mass, no difference between the LEDs and HPS. Some variance in photoperiodic lighting. For my impatiens, the Accent Premium Salmon, again, much shorter, and the LED, high-intensity LEDs, with, again, a little bit of variance in photoperiodic treatments. A little bit of variance in the root dry mass. We did have to drop the HPS about a foot and a half to achieve the 90 micromole light intensity, so we think this contributed a little bit, a little more plant growth under that treatment. And then no differences under photoperiodic lighting. Pretty similar trends under Gerber, so I'll just go through this a little quicker. Again, no differences in root dry mass in either group. So I did, the three species that I just showed you, I did transplant after 4 weeks to look at any subsequent effects on flowering. In petunias, we did see a slight difference in that the treatments that had far red did flower slightly earlier. But height, growth index, there were no differences in any of the treatments at flower. Under impatiens, they remained a little more compact at finish for the treatments under high-intensity LEDs in propagation, but not to a point, and a little bit taller from the photoperiodic treatments, but nothing that had an overall impact on quality. Gerber's, not as a slight difference in time to flower under supplemental lighting, but not a huge difference overall. So I conducted 3 reps of this experiment, fitting for the most part within the peak propagation time commercially, and I did see a slightly higher DLI. In my last rep, we did have a pretty sunny February and March in Michigan, so I did take this rep out of the third rep of my finished flowered quite faster, so I took this out of any of the statistics that I run for that. Looking at leaf temperature and air temperature, they're pretty consistent, but like I mentioned before, having to drop the HPS, that they did increase the leaf temperature a bit. And then in this graph, I have the total number of run hours throughout the 4 weeks in propagation. And the most important ones to look at are under that threshold where in all of my treatments, the 70 micromole light intensity treatments were on for 448 hours, where even in the cloudiest, my second rep, where they were on for 403 hours, that's still significantly less. So just some conclusions, comparing my supplemental and control, we saw that petunia in patients and Gerber plugs were much more compact under the 16-hour and threshold LEDs compared to the HPS. Plug quality was not significant, but even with that, plug quality was not significantly different between LED or HPS, as well as the 70 micromoles running for 16 hours or 90 micromoles under the threshold lighting treatment. But we did expect to see a huge difference between the controls and the supplemental treatments as far as quality index, and the supplemental treatments were anywhere from 2 to 4 times higher in the supplemental lighting treatments compared to the control treatments. As far as photoperiodic lighting, the petunias and Gerbera plugs under my control and my red-white were the most compact, where in patients and tuberous begonia plugs under my 24-hour far-red treatment were the most compact. But overall, plug quality was not significantly different under any of the low-intensity photoperiodic treatments or under the control. And so going back to why we wanted to look at these is that the growers were thinking that they were seeing a shorter production time using these photoperiodic treatments, and that the low light intensities resulted in a more stem elongation and larger leaves that resulted in a very large plug, but you still have slower root development. So from this, our suggestions to growers are to try to use a threshold lighting treatment, still anywhere from 70 to 90 micromoles, and if they do choose to use photoperiodic, we didn't see any significant differences as far as run times or using the presence of far red in propagation, but maybe slight advantages to slightly quicker flowering with far red in their photoperiodic treatments. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone that helped me in the greenhouse as well as with any contributions, and I can take questions.